Hey, I'm Lance Frazier.
Name is Roosevelt.
My name is Trey Mason.
You're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
I'm Cameron Marshall, and you're listening to the Piffles Podcast.
Stay tuned.
Thanks for joining the Piffles Podcast. That's the Johnny McKeag Band there with Here We Go. Thanks so much for joining us. We are your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Greg.
And we got a lot of stuff to get to this week. This is episode 110. We're going to title it something. Welcome Home Grey Cup. And we're going to do that again when the Riders win the Grey Cup in 2020. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Give us a follow on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
Find me, at Safamud.
Follow me, at Greg on Sports.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram, at PifflesPod. And go to the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Of course, Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out the great happy hour drink specials, half price, Monday to Friday. So, let's not waste any time. Let's get right to it. Time for the opening kickoff. The biggest news to hit Saskatchewan in a little while. Grey Cup 2020. Next year, coming back to Regina. Obviously, we're super excited about that. We don't have to spend money on travel. That's what I'm stoked about because I'm kind of poor. And this is going to be a blast. And everything is going to be in one spot on the Evraz grounds in Regina. The stadium is right there. The Cooperator Center, well, whatever they're called now, Infinity Plex. But you got the new ITC going on. Everything for the first time ever for the Grey Cup is going to be in one spot.
I remember Grey Cup in 2013 when they had all the team parties in one spot. But you still had to go downtown for some of the, you know, the tent parties, and Spirit of Edmonton and their Lonely Hearts Club was off on like Louvet at 4th, right?
Yeah.
I love the fact that literally the entire party is going to be indoors within walking distance of everything. You park once and you're good for the day. I can't wait.
It's going to be great. You can grab a cab and by then maybe an Uber. Here's hoping.
They got approved.
Yeah, they got approved.
Yeah, a couple months.
I don't trust Regina City politics to do anything properly, but I digress. No, it's going to be great, especially like you can just get drop off and you can just bounce around party to party, event to event. It's something that's never been done in the CFL before, and I can't wait to see it. It's going to be awesome.
Well, in 2013, the thing I liked most about the Grey Cup here versus the ones I've traveled to was they had that one entrance fee, and you went...
Yeah, that pass.
You did go, right? You spent, I think it was like $25.
It was like a Mosaic passport, essentially.
Yeah, and you would go from party to party, and none of them filled up because people were going from group to group, from party to party, and just mingling and having a good time. You don't see that in a lot of Grey Cups. You see lineups and full events. This all-in-one, I can't wait.
Well, in 2013, I remember Ryderville was the one that filled up, obviously. It's the number one attraction at Grey Cup, normally, especially here in Regina. And so I think we went there the Thursday night where it was still kind of a quiet night. But then Friday and Saturday night, we went to all the other parties. Ryderville was lined up out the door, and people were waiting an hour to get in. But you could just walk right into the other places. And all the other places were better than Ryderville. They had games. They had Mega Jenga, foosball. There was air hockey tables. It was better, but it wasn't packed in there, which was kind of the downside. But it was still a lot of people.
It was also the upside.
That was also the upside. You could actually get in. It was great.
Well, I remember 2003. The biggest party they had going was that flat out underneath the Big Top where they like tented all of Scarth Street in. And that was still a lineup to get into there. But yeah, every other party was scattered all throughout the city, and Regina Transit at that point wasn't exactly the best and brightest either. So
it hasn't changed much.
But I can't wait. This is gonna be a ton of fun, and we can toot our own horns. We kind of guessed exactly what was going on with that announcement.
Well, and there was a dual announcement, first time ever announcing two locations at the same time. Hamilton getting 2021, and I'm really excited for Hamilton because I hate saying places deserve something because you got to earn it. But they really do deserve a Grey Cup there. And it's been so long since they've had it. They've had the stadium issues with Timbits Field. I know it's Tim Hortons Field, but I like calling it Timbits. Timbits right. Field.
The
and,
coffee grounds?
Yeah. And it's nice to see that they're finally getting the big game. And I think one of the reasons, or there's a couple reasons why we got 2020 as opposed to them, was one, 2020 coincides with 110 years of the Riders, which is, to me...
That's a loose reason to do it.
That's a really, really lame anniversary to try and go with. But hey, whatever helps the bid. But also, with a stadium that you're competing with Hamilton, it's not a bad idea to give Hamilton that one extra year. They've had that...
They've had
the issues. So giving them one more year to make sure everything's all done and have, you know, other world events that they have there, that's not a bad thing to do. They're finally getting their game. Everybody's happy there about it.
There's still some bickering that they didn't get 2020.
Yeah, no, and they're happy they get 2021.
You know what I want to see? Just to be a full-on troll, we already stole their Grey Cup date. I want to steal their halftime show. I don't even like their music, but I want to see us get the Arkells just to turn around and laugh at Hamilton, because that's the clear, obvious choice for a 2021 Grey Cup halftime.
So if we get a monster truck
in the beaches, because that'd be sweet.
That'd be awesome too. But if we go to 2021, we're just leaving Steve on his own, right? He can get attacked by Hamilton fans.
Oh yeah, he's fine.
Yeah,
I'll be fine. Josh will look after me, maybe.
But finally, Grey Cup coming back. I say finally, it's only going to be 7 years in between. But
for the longest time, they would not bring the Grey Cup here. And now it's like, hey, Saskatchewan, we want the Grey Cup?
Yeah. We are the new destination for this kind of thing. Toronto and Vancouver used to be the two big ones because you could have it indoors and all the amenities are all downtown and everything. But
we actually have fans.
We're right up there. And
volunteers too, actually, is a big component of it.
And there's going to be a lot of people volunteering. It's going to be a blast. If it's anything like 2013, it's going to be bigger and better, and it's going to be just an amazing time. Just hopefully it's not minus 40 that entire week, and maybe the Riders are in it again. So maybe we can christen the new stadium, just kind of the same way that we almost sent that last one off with the greatest win in Rider history. Maybe we can have the newest greatest win in Rider history.
I'm all for it.
I'm fine with that.
So, Grey Cup 2020 coming to Regina in 2020.
Are you sure?
Let me double check that. Grey Cup 2020. Yes, 2020 is coming here in 2020.
All right. Whew.
Opening kickoff brought to you by Kathy Feshton of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Feshton Royal LePage. Now, a bunch of other rider news that has happened since the last time that we all got together and did a show. Some more free agent signings, so we'll go through these. And obviously the big one is that wide receiver. There's a couple signings there, but Naaman Roosevelt, 2-year deal, back in green and white. And that was a no-brainer, especially after, you know, Greg Ellingson got taken off the market and some of the other big receivers went elsewhere, Darrell Walker going to Toronto. So Roosevelt was a must-sign. He goes for 2 years, pairing him up with Manny Arsenault out of BC, signed for 1 year. What's your guys' take on those two guys?
We've always loved to hate Manny Arsenault. He's one of those guys you hate to go up against. My only fear is that's two guys who didn't exactly have the best season last year health-wise. You know, we know Roosevelt's got his issues with concussions over the last little bit, and Roosevelt's now on his second ACL. Is it ACL?
You mean Arsenault?
Yeah.
Arsenault.
What did I say?
You said Roosevelt.
Yeah, Roosevelt's got the concussions. Arsenault is the one with the second
ACL
tear. I mean, yeah, it's a worry, but it's the right call.
But when Arsenault came back from his last ACL tear, he led the league in receiving.
Let's hope he does it again. I mean, the last time we got that aging receiver out of BC, it worked out pretty well for us, didn't it?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah,
so. And considering...
Jiri Simon, by the way.
Yeah. And considering Moore and Evans are still on this team, and they're going to be a bigger part of our offense, it doesn't hurt to have an extra veteran presence in the room. That was one thing the Riders were missing a lot of last year, was that veteran receiver bringing these young guys along.
You mean going with Naaman Roosevelt and a bunch of rookies might not be the greatest choice for a...
I know, I'm shocked too.
Right?
I know. And that's the reason why we had to bring Rob Begg back, apparently. Oh my God! Anyway,
I'm not going there. That's
just not again. No, not again. No. This is a no bag zone.
No bag zone.
I also think that we're going to get Jordan Williams-Lambert back from the NFL. I don't think he makes it. So you compare him as a three to Manny Arsenault and Naaman Roosevelt. All of a sudden, you got Shaq Evans, who's a very good receiver.
Had some hands issues. Had some hands issues.
Yeah, but as a four, you're not expecting him to be a number one guy.
No.
As a complement receiver, and then you got Kyron Moore and you know whoever else we're going to put in there, Corey Watson.
Patrick LeBlanc.
That's all of a sudden that goes from our weakest spot on the team to looking pretty good. Assuming that everybody stays healthy, of course.
The only downside is you're not getting JWL back until August, September,
well,
though.
I don't know.
That's a good
if
play.
You're not getting a big bonus from a signing bonus, which he didn't get in the NFL. A lot of these guys that sign future contracts, they get released before OTAs. So he might be here at training camp. We'll just have to see how that plays out. But
I mean, I hope not as a fan of the guy, but as a fan of the team, God, I hope so, because that receiving core would be great. And add in William Powell from Ottawa, like we talked about last week, and suddenly our offense looks almost formidable, as opposed to
just keep Zach healthy.
Not there.
Yeah, just keep Zach upright. I think this offense is going to surprise quite a few. I know everyone wants to freak out about McAdoo's offense. We're 2 years removed from 3,000-yard receivers. And definitely not having Carter, Bakari, and a healthy Roosevelt in the lineup probably did not help Zach. But what do I know?
Nothing. That's what you
mean. Yeah, exactly.
Cody Fajardo. We have our backup quarterback, the new favorite player on the Riders now. Cody Fajardo is signed a one-year deal, came over from BC.
Are we looking at him like Lady Gaga looks at Bradley Cooper?
I think, isn't that what we do at Rider Nation?
Oh, my God.
Great meme, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcoming back Keenan LaFrance as a running back from Winnipeg, one-year deal.
Meh.
It doesn't hurt. He's good on special teams, and having a Canadian running back never hurts.
It's a depth move. Whether he actually makes the final rosters is up in the air, but
I was a lot more excited about that signing when he came from Ottawa the first time, but hey, maybe I'll surprise.
So is I. Got me a beer from Ferlin.
It's always a good reason to be excited.
And the final one, AC Leonard, back from 1 year in Ottawa, and he signed for a one-year deal. So all of a sudden, we look at our D-line, and yeah, we lost Willie Jefferson, probably the best rush passer or defensive end in the league. So you have Micah Johnson, the best interior lineman in the league. So to me, kind of a wash there with Jefferson and Johnson. And you have Charleston Hughes, the sack leader. Micah Johnson, I should say, was the second leading sacker in the CFL last year. So you got the top two quarterback sackers in the league. You got Zach Evans, probably the best Canadian defensive tackle in the league. And AC Leonard, who had a career high in sacks last year and did show promise with us.
And was an
all-four.
Eastern All-Star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a better D-line than it was with Willie Jefferson.
And if AC Leonard didn't intercept that football, he'd probably still be here. Did you remember that? He made that interception because he dropped back when he wasn't supposed to.
Wasn't that Jonathan Newsom?
No, that was AC Leonard.
Was it Leonard?
It was Leonard.
I wouldn't say Newsom did that.
Oh, I could be wrong. Maybe. I don't know. They both got released at the same time, around the same time.
Yeah.
I've got an idea. What we can do, just go back to last offseason, play every recording where we talked about how amazing our defensive line is going to be, and just replay them. We don't even have to talk for the next 3 months. Let's just replay those. And, you know, who would have thought our old D-line could get better than it was? I'm pumped to see what they can do.
And it sucks we lost Willie, but I am psyched to have Micah here just for that interior presence. Oh, because our run defense was not stellar last year.
And the push in the middle that we're going to get with Johnson and Evans and taking up double teams, you're going to leave Charleston Hughes and you're going to leave AC Leonard, Chad Jeter, whoever else is rotating on that other defensive end spot, one-on-ones. And if you're a defensive end, that's what you want. You want a one-on-one so you can beat that tackle.
You can't not double Micah Johnson. Just can't. You do that, he's hitting your quarterback every
unless
time.
Unless you have Josiah St. John.
And then there's teams that were triple-teaming Micah at some points last year just because they could not keep
up. The guy's a monster.
Yeah.
He's jacked. Dude is big. Great signings. So I think those are some pretty good depth signings as well, too. Did lose a couple players. Caleb Hawley goes to Ottawa. Guy had a chance to be a number two receiver and never
And to call ourselves out, we thought he'd be a 1,000-yard receiver here because he shows promise. He shows the promise.
Yeah, and he still very well could be in Ottawa.
They don't have anybody else.
And who's throwing him the ball though?
Yeah. So, but I mean, he's a good receiver, and he'll be fine in Ottawa. Kevin Francis, linebacker, Canadian, going to Ottawa as well to depth move there. And Brandon Bridge finally has a new home, going back to his original home just outside Toronto, going to the Argos.
Ladies and gentlemen, your 2019 passing leader.
You know,
according to Twitter, apparently.
The fascination with Brandon Bridge is crazy. Now, I know us on the show, after he had a strong 2017 season, I was personally in favor of him. If you're going to get rid of Kevin Glenn and not bring anybody else in, go with Brandon Bridge. I was in favor of that. I'm glad they didn't do that because there was something that they saw in him that just, they're like, nope, he's not a starter. And we learned very clearly last year, he is not a starter in this league. I still think Brandon Bridge could be a good backup and come in and spark a team that needs a jolt in a game. He can spot start once or twice. That's about it. But he's not a starter in this league.
You know what's amazing to me? We have recorded more episodes than Brandon Bridge had passing yards in our Western final. Our Western semifinal. That's how bad he was that game.
Well, to be fair, we did have... you guys had like a 3-year head start.
Yep. I don't... And I said this on Twitter yesterday. I don't understand the Saskatchewan obsession with the backup quarterback. I mean, we might as well all go out and get Cody Fajardo jerseys. Ferland told me at work yesterday, he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a jersey, right, backup or backup QB and the number two. And wear that to games. Yeah. Because that's the favorite player. Why? Well, I don't get it.
But that has been the running joke for years. Who's the most popular player in the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? It's always the backup quarterback.
But it feels like with Bridge, and I understand he's Canadian and he showed some flash.
His pass bar has nothing to do with it. It was the same for Willie. It was the same for Tino. It was the same for...
But it went to a whole new level with Bridge.
I don't... Honestly, I think the...
Especially compared to how well he performed or didn't.
The cries for Willie, in my mind, from where I guess where I sit, were more for Willie than I've ever seen for Bridge. Yes, the vocal social media was, Bridge is our future, Bridge is our future. But I just... I don't know. I think the calls for Willie were more than the calls for Bridge.
I think we'll regret losing Brandon Bridge just as much as we regretted losing Drew Willie.
At least not really at all. At least Bridge didn't have a catchy chant like Free Willie though.
You know what's gonna happen is Bridge. We're gonna be playing Toronto here on the home opener on Canada Day. We're gonna be beating Toronto. Their offense is going to be doing nothing. Bridge is going to come in as a backup in that game, and he's going to light the world on fire and come back, and Toronto's going to beat us.
You know what?
He's going to Spurgeon win us?
Because, of course. I've watched this team too many times. That's exactly what's
going
to happen.
No, I'm going out on a limb right here. Noah Pickton makes that squad, and Brandon Bridge does not.
I'll go on a further bridge, and... If quarterbacks count towards a ratio after they both make the team.
Oh. That would be almost as bad a GM move as anything Cabus has done this decade.
I don't know. Pop is a bit of... Pop into some stupid things, too. But I don't know. Bridge showed flashes. I just don't understand the love affair with him. And he's a good dude. Like, I met the guy.
Yeah, he's very nice.
He took a picture with me and my daughter at WWE 2 years ago. Huge wrestling fan, sat beside us and gladly took pictures with us and talked wrestling the entire time. Great guy. He just doesn't know how to read a defense. He just doesn't.
He's got all the physical tools, but it's the ones between the ears that gets him. And we see that a lot with a lot of these uber athletic quarterbacks, is that's what fails them.
When you're that good physically, you take a step back. Like you just let your tools do the working for you, and you don't...
And it works for some people, and it doesn't for others. Yeah. But and one other little news and note here for the Riders we got to get to. Brett Lawther signing an extension through 2020, restructured his deal. Apparently, he was willing to sit out 2019 because he was still making league minimum. And look how damn good he was last year. I don't blame him one bit. He did deserve a raise, and I'm glad that, you know, we still have Tyler Capino on the roster too. I'm glad that Jeremy O'Day realized the value in Brett Lawther and decided, you know what, that's gonna be our guy. We need to pay him. He's a damn good kicker, and I like Tyler Capino. And Capino was the first kicker in a while that I actually trusted from about 45 yards that the Riders have had. Brett Lawther, I trust from 55. I trust him from 60. This kid just has a crazy good leg on him. Maybe sitting out those 5 years worked.
I think we're going to... Capino's getting traded after training camp when everyone sees he's healthy again. Because no one's going to try to get Capino from us unless they know he can kick again.
Yeah.
And so once he starts kicking again, I think the Riders make a move to trade him. And if they can't, and you know, first he's going to get cut.
That extension was an absolute no-brainer. You can't have, especially if he mentioned the idea of sitting out, saying, you know, if you don't give me a raise, I'm sitting the season. You have to. The season he had, in my mind, he had a better year than Lewis Ward.
I think so, too.
And oh, so do I.
You'll never be able to convince me otherwise. Yes, the consecutive kicks record was great.
How many of those were 22?
He had a lot of short kicks. Lawther had way more outside.
Lawther had two kicks of 56 yards in one season,
and one was a game winner.
Yeah, don't tell me 5 or 30 or however many straight 30-yard kicks is better than that. Dude won a game on a 56-yarder, and there was a no doubter. I mean, the guy has a leg. He's accurate.
Single-handedly, why the Riders won 12 games last year. Without an offense.
We don't make the playoffs without him.
Nope.
So, pay him. Pay that man his money.
Yep, great news there. Other CFL stuff, and I'm excited for this talk today. There's so much going on.
One second, I got to stretch. Okay. All right, let's go.
Okay, so let's start with Randy's road show. Randy Ambrosi coming to Regina here to the stadium to do his Q&A with the fans. And present everything, and we actually had a chance to talk to him for a couple minutes after, so we'll play that for you here in a minute. But the one thing that I got out of it, Steve, was not so much anything that he said, because he talked about CFL 2.0. He talked about I'm surprised nobody talked about Grey Cup coming to Regina. That was a couple days after the announcement. But what really made me happy about that day was trolling Bomber fans, and I'll say his name. I like this guy, Bomber Reaper on Twitter. Great guy. We've met him before. Yep. in Winnipeg. Fantastic fan. Love him.
Huge homer.
Okay, and you know what? I love
homers, and homers we fun. Love homers. We love homers. We're king homers.
We're all homers in a way, right? But so the CFL on Sunday morning posted a poll. Which quarterback is going to lead the league in passing in 2019? They took the top four from last year. Mike Riley, Boo Levi Mitchell,
Jeremiah Mazzoli,
and Trevor Harris. So, and on Twitter, you can only put four options in a single poll.
I disagree with that.
So,
we'll get to that in a second.
So, those guys all had 5,000 yards passing. Like, it was crazy. The next closest was fifth, Matt Nichols, who barely had 3,100 yards. Bomber Reaper replies to...
Well, one second, and we should mention, for our Rider listeners, number six was Zach Caleros, 200 yards behind Matt Nichols.
In a terrible offense. Yes. And Winnipeg's offense was much better than ours.
Supposedly.
Apparently. So Bomber Reaper gets a little bit upset and posted a gif he replied and said, why or the CFL ignoring Winnipeg again, pathetic. So I replied to him and said, or maybe because the CFL can only take four options and they picked the top four from last year. Well, it's not about last year, it's about this year. Okay, well, what do you base this year off of? You have to go off of last year. You have to. That's just the way it is, especially when there's a 2,000 yard difference between fourth and fifth place. Anyway,
well, the best part, sorry, was Winnipeg's receiving core has gotten worse. There is nothing in that group that suggests they will be better. Nothing. Sorry. Anyways, carry on.
Except for Nick Dembski, 1,000-yard receiver.
It's never happened.
Inside joke.
Inside joke.
So I was born on Sunday morning. I'll bite. So I started arguing with him, and other people jumped in and started subtweeting him as well too, and it was hilarious. So anyway, Steve and I go to Randy's road show, and we're sitting there, and it's a little bit delayed. He's doing a little speech with the, or he's doing a scrum with the media, and we're sitting there, and Steve says, you know what we should do? So we should make a poll about, I'm going to make a poll. Who's going to lead the league in passing yards? 17 tweets later, included every single quarterback on a roster right now.
And several who are retired.
Free agents, and a couple retired ones, like Drew Tate, who got my vote, by the way. And I voted. I cheated. I voted on every single one. Darian Durant was in there too. Drew Tate and Kevin Glenn, Travis Lule, Ricky Ray, all those guys aren't playing right now. They're not on rosters. And you omitted one name, Matt Nichols. And it was absolutely hilarious. So while we're doing, Steve's tweeting up the polls. I'm looking at the rosters, finding all these backup third and fourth string quarterbacks, and in Montreal's case, six
of them. Yeah.
Fifth now.
You got a promotion there. It was fantastic.
The best part about it, I wasn't sure if it would be, if people would catch on that Nichols was gone, but it was instant. There was
one of the first responses, "Where's Matt Nichols?" It was so good.
Like, you were not going to vote for them, so why are you looking for them?
Oh my god, it was fantastic.
And the best part about all of it was sitting there as we're doing it, and both of us just giggling away, going through these lists of quarterbacks.
Oh, it's like we're having a sleepover and talking about boys. It was awesome. Like, we were just giggling the whole time.
I'd ask if you guys are doing each other's hair, but I know the answer to that one.
Shut up.
Hey, I have
we
hair.
We have more hair than you.
Yeah, that is funny. Hey, I wasn't there. I'm just cracking the hair jokes, all right? But I think, also, but the CFL was also, like, tweeting out, like, who's going to be the sack leader this year, which they, when they showed the pictures, they omitted the sack leader from last year.
No, they said which of these two all-time greats is going to take the crown.
That's what
they,
it was.
And they picked the guy who finished, like, 15th and 20th.
Yeah.
Neither.
Yeah. And but I was surprised that Bum Reaper was not mad that Matt Nichols was not going to win the sack leader, because he has got just as much chance as winning the sack title as he does winning the yardage title.
The guy has finished exactly fifth, not, you know, fourth to sixth, exactly fifth every year for four straight seasons.
So and his best year was 4,000 yards in 2017.
So would we
still wouldn't have cracked the top five?
Would we classify that as moderately successful?
Well, he has one playoff game, so.
No Grey Cups yet.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, I love homers. They're my favorite people because they just don't care.
And Reaper, we love you, yeah, man. Like, we'll see you at Labor Day, and we'll see you at Banjo Bowl, and I can't wait for it. But, man, like, come on. Anyway, so Randy's Roadshow. Well, you know what we'll do? The speech itself was fine. The one thing that I took about it, he's a great spin artist.
Isn't he, right?
Which is, that's what you want out of your top guy. Any company, that's what you want out of your top guy. Everything's roses, everything's good. But what I liked about it is, why couldn't the CFL be like the NBA was with Yao Ming? Why can't we be that big destination for international viewing? Well, obviously, the NFL is number one for football, and we're number two. And instead of looking at it as we're two of two, Randy Ambrosi put it, hey, look at all the other leagues that are in the world that are still pretty big over in Europe and Mexico and everything. We're 2 out of 40. That sounds a lot better than 2 out of 2. So there's that spin. But it does put a good perspective on things that, you know what? We are a big league. Why wouldn't we want to attract the top talent that we can possibly get?
We people seem to forget, and as much as everyone wants to say this, the death of the CFL is coming. We're the oldest football league in the world. And everyone wants to, and it's always the CFL's dying, the CFL's dead, like, whatever. But there's a reason why the CFL has been around so long and why all these little fledgling leagues keep on failing in the States. CFL's not going anywhere.
No.
And, yeah, so, yeah, we are the NFL's baby brother, so to speak. But, yeah, there's other leagues up there that would definitely like to be where the CFL is.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've spent a lifetime comparing my... I didn't even know there was 38 other professional football leagues in the world until probably this off season. To be honest with you. I never looked, never cared. I mean, I love football, but football season to me was May when the CFL started until January, February when the NFL was done. But I kind of like the different spin on it that, you know, we're not that small. We're not the little guy. We're just... We got to stop comparing ourselves to the NFL and realize that we're on our own. We're our own company, our own country, our own sport. And
just build it.
Yeah, build it. And he's doing a great job of, I mean, he mentioned it, a TV contract with Mexico coming in the next couple of weeks. That's why they're doing this.
More money for the players.
Right? Even if you only get $1 million out of the Mexico, that's $1 million. That's,
you know, divide that between 9 teams.
Yeah, there's another $100,000 per team.
There's a couple raises for players.
And that's the thing, is everyone's looking, oh, like, well, these players, like, they should be focusing on scouting in the States. They're still going to find those players in the States.
Oh, yeah, you're not stopping to look at stuff like that.
And it's not like Mexico or France or Italy or Austria. If you find, the Yao Ming of Austrian football to come over here and become a star, that's only going to help your exposure in Europe. And if he's really that good, maybe the NFL takes a look at him, and that becomes part of a story, and that helps push the league as well. But this is about getting TV contracts for the bottom line of the owners and the league.
And to expand on the Yao Ming thing there, and Randy Ambrosi said this at his roadshow, it takes one player. If you can find that one international player and get him in a market like BC, which is a very international market, or Toronto, which is a ridiculously international market, and that player succeeds, then it's worth it. Because that player is going to be a huge star. People from overseas are going to want to check that out. Just the diversity of population in a place like Toronto, they're going to want to check out, hey, if there's an Italian star that comes in, people in Toronto, huge Italian presence there, are going to want to see that player play. Whether it's watching more games on TV, whether it's going to a couple games here and there, going to events, it's a good thing. If the one player succeeds, then it's worth it.
And if you look at what the Toronto Raptors have done, they have gone for that international presence with European players because they know, one, they'll like the community because it is a very international city.
Yep.
And it helps bring those groups to your games, which spend money on tickets and food and clothing and whatever. And with a franchise like Toronto, that's not going to hurt.
So you're saying tapping into an exclusively Canadian population and trying to sell the game just to Canadians might not be the greatest business model for a country that's very diverse in its in its population?
Pretty much, yeah.
I loved his quote about being able to talk and chew. Is it walk and chew bubble gum at the same time?
Walk and chew gum at the same time. Because he says, well, people are saying, why are you going out to Mexico and to Europe to find these when you should be focusing on the CBA? We can walk and chew gum at the same time.
And actually, to bring it back to the international ones, what's also going to help the Canadian game and the Canadian players is these CIS players now will now have a bigger U Sports, because this deal is also, I believe, being done in conjunction with U Sports, where these U Sports players can go to these European leagues in Mexico, which is only going to help these Canadian kids that want to play football outside of university, because once they're done their school, they don't make the CFL or NFL. They had nowhere to go, and now this gives them other options.
Yeah, go and play professional football for 2 or 3 years in Mexico or Austria or France, and come back more prepared for the professional game. That can do nothing but good things for our league down the road.
Or you go do a couple years.
They get playing time instead of sitting on a practice roster here for
exactly
2 years and then getting cut and being done with.
Exactly. No, this is it's a bold. It's a little out there, but this could be something that cements the CFL globally for years.
That was Randy's Roadshow. Like I said, we had a couple minutes to chat with him after the show, so let's play some of that right now.
So these town halls, this is your second tour now. Why are they so important to you?
Well, you know, I think for me, it's a chance to connect with the heart and soul of our league, you know, our fans, and you know, I'll learn something. So today I'll take away, for example, a lot of support for the Saturday playoff game, but less so for a Saturday Grey Cup, right? So you know, every time I sit with the governors, I want to be able to speak to what I'm seeing, not just in one market, but what I'm seeing across the country. So, you know, it'll help the governors. It gives them more confidence that what I'm sharing with them is a really good holistic understanding of the national landscape. So these become really important. The other is just to share the vision, because we should want our fans to be part of the vision, right? To have them feel a connection to where we're trying to take the league, to get them excited about our future, because they are, this group are our best advocates for the future, and of course we want to have them, we want to have them be part of it.
Now, late in the town hall, there were some questions about the Grey Cup, and I want to know, what was it about the two bids that allowed the CFL to announce two Grey Cups at the same time? I don't remember that ever happening.
To the best of my knowledge, it never has, so I think I did call it historic. You know, this bid was big, and it will serve to take this entire property, and maybe for the very first time in the history of the CFL, the entire Grey Cup experience will be in one location. So that was something that we've never seen before. And we saw a commitment from this community, from this city, from this team, from this province to do something that's never been done before. And we looked at that through the lens of how would that affect the fan experience. It could be super cool. You know, playing it here at Mosaic, which is, you know, all on its own special. So that part of it. We actually had a recommendation from the Grey Cup committee to try to get out to a 3-year bidding process, because if we want to raise the bar, the cities are going to simply, and the teams are going to need more time to execute. And then we had two fantastic bids from Hamilton and Montreal. Montreal's wasn't a factor because they're going to have construction at the Big O in 21. Hamilton's bid was amazing. It's got some real innovations in it that I'm not going to speak to today, but to say the Grey Cup committee found it really compelling. So we asked Hamilton if they would be interested in 21. They put up their hand and said yes, like we could do that. So we had gone into the process with Hamilton, looking at Hamilton's bid differently as a potential 21 winner. So you had this bid, which was superhuman. And as I said, I think it could have won anything. I think they could have bid on anything in the world that they wanted and won. And then you had the Hamilton bid, which, all the credit to Bob Young and Scott Mitchell, said we'd be in for 21. It just happened to be connected to a bid that was just amazing and filled with innovation. So Shazam, here we are.
Perfect. Now, shifting gears a little bit, the one other question that came up was the headshot issue. And he did mention some initiatives that the league may look at. Has the league ever thought about looking at something like a targeting rule similar to what NCAA has to help protect players?
Yeah, we have talked about it, and we will talk about it. Of course, you guys know the difference is they have like 85 players, so, you know, you lose a player, you've got a lot in behind. And you know, our roster's at 44 players, and not, it's difficult to withstand, you know, the loss of a player. But look, I think we're all taking it as seriously as a league can. There are going to be all those issues that we discussed this winter with rules committee, and we're going to challenge them. We're going to challenge them to think about how do we do best. Last year, we did a lot of, we find the players, and we tried to send a really strong message how serious we were. We did a bunch of suspensions. The Player Association was great. They supported us. You know, they're always going to have a different point of view on it, but they were supportive of it, and I was proud of the relationship we forged with them. But hey, coming up on a new season, I think we have to look at everything again.
Perfect. Now, last but not least, we got a quick lightning round here for you. Just first answer comes off the top of your head. Yeah. Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
Cookies or cake?
Cake.
Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
I'd say NSYNC.
And last but not least, dogs or cats?
Oh, dogs.
Seems to be a common response.
Sorry to the cat people out there. But no,
you just offended like 5% of the CFL population. I think you're okay.
Gracie at home, the Gracie the Wonder Dog, would be upset if I didn't say it. In fact, she's going to say that I didn't answer quickly enough.
Perfect. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right, so that was Randy Ambrosi after his road show there. A couple other things we want to talk about before we do leave this week. Daron Carter dropping a rap song.
I thought he was doing a T-Pain impression.
So much auto-tune.
Hey, it's not auto-tune, man. Just ask Daron. The people in the business know it's not auto-tune, but it's auto-tune.
Oh, man. Absolutely phenomenal.
I was so excited because it's about Miami, and that's, like, my favorite place in the world.
I was expecting, like a Will Smith remake.
Right?
Really. But I know.
I can't get down to that. I don't know what the cool kids are saying nowadays, but that is not
much. Lit?
It's not lit.
It's not Fleek?
That is not lit.
Not on Fleek?
Did it say Fleek?
I don't know.
We're so far beyond whatever it is.
I'm 37. I've got two kids. I don't know.
Miami Vice is the song. DC No Name is what he goes by. DC No Name. So check that out. He's got it on his Twitter there. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. It's everywhere.
The people who like that style of music seem to think it's pretty good. So,
yeah,
I mean,
you know what I find, though, is that, yeah, we're kind of joking about it, but actually, it has the potential to be successful because it sounds exactly like all rap and hip-hop sounds like right now. I'm not a big fan of where rap and hip-hop has gone.
Yeah.
But
it's no Run DMC. That's all I know.
rap game to me was DMX and, you know.
But, I mean, it's rap is so much different than it was 20 years ago when you had Dr. Dre and Eminem and Snoop Dogg and all the, you know, like Kingpins, we'll call them, or something. That's what I'll call them anyway. Some of the all-time greats. And,
Tupac Shakur.
Yeah. And this guy having fun and making a song. And
hey,
good for
if he enjoys it, I'm glad he has a hobby.
And to his credit, it sounds like a lot of the other successful rap that's out there right now. So,
but apparently the writers cutting him kept us from having a Grey Cup anthem.
Yeah, with him and Bakari, it sounded like.
What?
Yeah,
they were hinting at a championship song. Oh, collaboration between the two of them. We got to get Bakari on to chat
this one up, yeah.
Because I want to hear more about this collaboration.
And Bakari was going to rap too.
That's what it sounded like by the discussion.
We need to get him to rap.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I'm in.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Chad Owens, you dink.
There we go. That's the end of it. I don't want to discuss this, yeah. But come on, be better.
We've talked about that kind of issue.
Arrested
ad nauseum
for assault. Good. So yeah,
and domestic assault.
So yeah, glad you're not part of our team anymore. Javon Johnson signed as defensive back coach, and it's actually official since the last time we did a show for Defiance College in Defiance, Ohio, which is 90 kilometers southwest of Toledo. So anyone who's ever been to Ohio, it's that's where it is. So good for him. He wanted to be a DB coach, and
I think he's gonna be a great coach.
He's been that type of person his entire career. He's always been the go-to on the bench. He's been the go-to in the community. This is a good life decision for him. I expect we'll see him back in the CFL as a DB coach one day.
And you saw it last year when he got benched that he was out there the entire time talking to the other DBs.
Oh, yeah, he wasn't happy about it, but he was still
out there trying to help the guys out and teaching the young guys to tell them where to be. So, no, he's going to be really good at that.
And go to piffelspodcast.com, take a little look there. I had a chance to talk to Javon just after he signed there, so chat with him about that. And finally, Johnny Football is Johnny Ineligible.
And Johnny Bye-Bye?
I had a nap on Wednesday afternoon, and because I hadn't slept in almost 2 days. And I wake up, and everybody got had by a guy called Real Dictator.
Hey, that's a Mr. Richard Tater to you.
All I saw was that Johnny Manziel got released. And I was like, okay, that makes sense because he had a bonus coming up on, what, Friday, right?
Yep, March 1st.
Yeah, so he had a big bonus coming up. Greg said, you know what, he's probably going to get cut by then. You were right. It wasn't...
I didn't call this.
Not necessarily for that reason, but he did get released for basically violating terms of his eligibility to play in the CFL. What that is, we don't know. It sounds pretty vague. It could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be not going to a therapy session, it could be counseling, it could be not combing his hair the same way, but whatever was agreed to, we don't actually know and they're not going to tell us.
I think you called it perfectly in our DM group.
Did it have to do with him signing autographs for $100?
No.
Also, why are people upset about that?
That's so commonplace down there.
I know.
Johnny Manziel is the first player to ever do this.
No, he's not.
I know, right? Like, that's what people are acting like.
Because we're used to it up here where...
Darren sells autographs on his website for like $75.
Andy Fantu says the same thing.
Lots of players do it.
Yeah.
The ones that we love, they all do it. They got to make money somehow.
But they don't... None of them charge for autographs in person. But that's very commonplace... With players
States,
down
though.
South.
Yeah, especially it's signing, like, at conventions and stuff like that. Wrestling ones is a good example. You show up and you want a honky-tonk man autograph. That's going to cost you $50.
Yeah.
Hey, look at Tom Benz going into the Hall of Fame.
And so Rockabilly is going in too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
With the X. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you meant like actually by himself.
Yeah.
No. You guys are nerds.
Yeah, I know.
Honky Tonk Man, sidebar, absolute garbage. He wasn't in the Hall of Fame before. The longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. Garbage that he wasn't in the Hall of Fame and up until now.
And he was an Elvis impersonator. Elvis impersonated him. But anyway, back to the point. Chances are, because just before we went to record, Farhan Lalji got a hold of Ambrosi.
Yep.
And basically they gave Johnny a way to fix this. So I don't think it has anything legally. I don't think it has maybe drugs, I guess, if they wanted to send her, he had to go to rehab. But it sounded like he had the opportunity to fix the mistake that was made and decided not to, so they voided his contract. And to Kavis's chagrin, because Kavis was not happy about it. Kavis said if he had a choice, he would not have released Johnny Manziel.
Well, at least not until Friday morning before his bonus was due.
No, Kavis would pay him and then release him at training
camp. Yeah, probably. But what did come out was the CFL declined to make the stipulations public. Manziel apparently revealed that his deal with Randy Ambrosi to be eligible to play in the CFL included mandatory doctor visits, and he must visit a therapist once a week. So it could be he didn't want to go to therapy anymore.
Or more likely, he wanted to play in the AAF.
So you have to think, the AAF is losing viewers by the truckload every week. What is going to create a buzz like that? Johnny friggin' football. Love him or hate him, the guy's got a name. Because it's definitely not Hackenberg. So, I wouldn't be shocked to see him. Now he's free and clear, AAF signs him.
Yeah, it's not like he's going to be making that minimum $80,000 US deal that every player gets at least. He's going to be in the upper echelon of their contracts because he's one of the biggest names that they'll be able to sign.
And, well, and San Antonio Commodores.
And that's the thing about the AAF. Commanders,
whatever.
And that's the thing about
Birmingham.
The Iron. It's easy to remember.
Go Orlando.
They're Riders of the South. But that's the thing about the AAF having one owner. It doesn't matter about the rules of the salary. You pay a guy, you put him where you need the marketing buzz, and that's it. And he's going to end up wherever they need him to play. And they're going to pay him whatever the hell they need him to play. And the other players are just going to have to deal with it because he's Johnny Football and they're not.
Can we talk quickly about Trent Richardson about scoring every single touchdown for his team through the first 3 weeks?
And has very few yards to show for it.
But he's got touchdowns.
You're playing fantasy football.
He's Marshawn Lynch.
No, they're running him in from the goal.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, former Riders actually making plays. Jeremy Couturier, is that how you pronounce his last name? Defensive back, yeah, good reception. Former Riders doing a little bit. Luis Perez.
He's not a former Rider, but
he's going to be a Rider.
I want him here so bad. This league better fail because I want him in training camp tomorrow.
I'm not even remotely upset that Johnny Football's gone. I mean, I would have loved to have seen him.
The consensus is
I would have loved to see him in Rider Green just for the gong show that it would have created.
Chris Jones isn't here anymore. I don't think Jeremy O'Day would have done it.
Oh, I know.
But Chris Jones would have been all over it.
Yeah. What do you mean I can't sign him?
You would have found a way.
Yeah.
Look, we found this new guy, Johnny Hockey. Wait, there's a Johnny Hockey in Calgary.
Yeah.
Johnny Foosball?
Yeah.
He's from the LFA. Just put a little mustache on him.
Juan Football?
Yeah, Juan Football.
Juan Football.
Well, football.
Adios, Juan Football.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, well, enough Johnny Football. He's done. He's done, and we're done for this episode. Don't forget, we have a bus going from Regina to Saskatoon for Saskatchewan Rush game against Philadelphia.
Yep. The Wings. Screw Philly.
The Wings.
But if Gritty comes, I have to buy 2 season tickets, so.
Gritty ain't coming.
Saturday, April 13th. That's the date. 13th.
That's the one.
We're going up there. We got a bus full of people going. So if you want in, there's still spots available. $85. It's going to get you from Regina to Saskatoon. Ticket to the game. We're going to go stop at a bar really quick before the game, too. We'll have a drink there. And minors are welcome. It is a kid-friendly place. So if you want to take your kid to their first Rush game, come on with the come out with the Piffles podcast, and we'll have a great time. So if you're interested in that, just send us a message on Twitter at Piffles Pod, Facebook, and we're easy to find. We're very easy to find. Just search Piffles Podcast and just say, hey, I'm interested. Got any questions? Let us know. And we'd love to see you on that bus coming up to Saskatoon because that's going to be a great time.
And if you do it before Friday, you're entered to win a Rush jersey. Don't forget that one.
Yeah. So get in there quick. We do have a Rush jersey to give away. So enter in, get in there right now. Anyway, that's it for us tonight. Thanks for joining us here on the Piffles Podcast, your premier Saskatchewan Rough Riders fan podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. Follow me at RealAlexD.
Find me at Safamud.
Follow me at Greg on Sports.
Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. On Instagram at Piffles Pod. And of course, go to that website, PifflesPodcast.com. Sidebar. Thanks everybody for making February 2019 our best month on the website. Lots of great stuff going on. Free agency sure helped, and just lots of great stuff. So hopefully you guys enjoyed, and looks like you did. And
may I say, you guys all need lives. I don't know what you see in us, but thank you. It's awesome. Thank you.
Piffles Podcast brought to you by our great friends at Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thanks as well to Kathy Feston of Royal LePage Regina Realty, Tallgrass Apparel, Cypress Hills Destination Area, Churchill Brewing Company, and Underdogs Memorabilia for their support to make this show possible. As we leave you, we have a new song to debut here on the Piffles Podcast. This is Tyler Gilbert, Ghost Behind Your Mind.